It's lovely to be here this morning. It always feels like coming home, and we come to St Andrews to do things. And it's also good to know that I'm not going to be sentenced to 14 years in prison for preaching. You know, we don't value the freedom we have, and we should, because we may not always have that freedom. Now, if you were looking for a new job, one of the things you'll often notice in the advert is the statement that such and such a company is an equal opportunities employer. Often there's a little logo in the advert that says that. Which means it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is, so long as you have the right qualifications, it won't affect your application. And this morning, as we continue with John's Gospel, we'll find that Jesus is an equal opportunities saviour. Because it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is, Jesus is interested in you. The only qualification we need is to recognise that we're sinners in need of a saviour. It's the outworking of what John wrote in chapter 1 when he said, he came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, one of the most wonderful things about the good news that Jesus brings is that it meets the basic needs that all people have. You know, you can go to the highest halls of learning and you can talk to somebody who's got umpteen PhDs. And although they're very highly educated, they still need to hear that Christ died for their sins, was raised from the dead, and that they can trust in Christ's redeeming sacrifice and receive eternal life as a free gift. And you can take that message to the most primitive, illiterate tribesman in some remote jungle, and he still needs to hear the same good news. Since all people are sinners who need to be reconciled to God, the same gospel applies to everyone. Jesus saves all who trust in him. Obviously, the way we talk to different people about Jesus, that might be different, but the good news is still the same. Think back to chapter 3 in John's Gospel, when Jesus met Nicodemus, and then look at the lady we've been hearing about in our reading today. They couldn't be more different. Let's play a bit of a spot the difference. First of all, Nicodemus. Well, first thing about him was he was a man. He was a regular churchgoer. In fact, he was a church leader. He was a Jew. He was a highly respected. He was a leader among the people. He knew that something was missing from his life, and he knew that in Jesus he would find that something. And today, the person that Jesus meets, well, firstly, she's a woman, and a morally questionable woman. She's a social outcast. She's a Samaritan, which means she belonged to a class of people who the Jews thought were definitely most second-class citizens. She knew that something was missing from her life, but she tried to fulfill her need by endless sexual encounters, but never finding happiness, security, and worth. They were very different people, yet they both needed to meet with Jesus. Both needed to be saved by Jesus. But the way Jesus deals with the woman at the well and Nicodemus is very different. With Nicodemus, Jesus is straight to the point, blunt even, when he says, you must be born again. But here, he gently draws out this woman's real need. Nicodemus sought out Jesus because he recognized his merits. The Samaritan woman had no idea who the stranger at the well was who was seeking her. But you know, Jesus loved them both because he came to seek and to save all types of people. And you know, the great thing about Jesus is he always meets us at the point of our need. And he knows just what we need. So let's look a bit more closely at this reading. In verses 1 to 3, John gives us the reason why Jesus left Judea and headed towards Galilee. It was to avoid any conflict with the Pharisees, who were closely monitoring the ministries of both John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, Jesus was never one to avoid conflict if it was in his Father's will, but he knew that the time was not yet right for direct conflict. So he left Judea in the south and was heading north towards Galilee. In verse 4 we read, "Now he had to go through Samaria." This was the shortest route to get from Judea to Galilee, and many Jews used it, but it wasn't the only route. Some strict Jews, who didn't want any contact with the despised Samaritans, would take the longer route, which meant crossing the River Jordan to the east, travelling north, and then coming back west into Galilee. And since Jesus was probably already at the Jordan, where they were making disciples and baptizing, he could have taken that route. You know, the problem of race relations, it isn't a modern problem. When Jesus decided to take the shortcut through Samaria, he entered a country that was still very sensitive about its relationship with the rest of Palestine. The hostilities between the Jews and the Samaritans went back centuries. After the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC, they deported most of the Jews and they replaced them in Samaria with foreigners who intermarried with the remaining Jews. And so their religion was a mixture of Judaism and foreign religions. And if you want to find out more about that, you can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 17. Then when the Jews returned from exile in Babylon, the Samaritans offered to help them rebuild the temple. But the Jews viewed them as foreign enemies and they refused their offer of help. And later, when Nehemiah was building the walls of Jerusalem, the Samaritans were among those who ridiculed and mocked. All these events and others led to intense hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. But all this animosity didn't matter to Jesus. He had to go through Samaria because he knew that at that well, at that time, on this very day, was a woman who needed to meet the Saviour. You see, Jesus had a divine appointment in Samaria. Now, the normal time for women to get water was either early in the morning or in the early evening when it was much cooler. But here's this woman coming in the heat of the day. Why doesn't she come when everybody else comes? Well, the well was a place where the women gathered to talk as they filled their water pots, a bit like a drop-in centre, really. We can't be sure why this woman came at noon, but it may be that because of her immoral life, she was not liked by the other women. Maybe she wanted to come when they're all gone. And yet Jesus knows all about her life, and Jesus is still there to meet with her. She arrives at the well and encounters this Jewish man who has the audacity to ask her for a drink of water. You know, it wasn't socially acceptable in those days for a Jewish man to speak to any woman in public. So for Jesus to go beyond asking for a drink, which was shocking enough, but to direct the conversation into spiritual things with this woman, well, that was totally off the wall. You know, the rabbis in those days thought that even Jewish women shouldn't be taught the scriptures. And it wasn't as even as if this woman said to him, "Sir, you look like a Jewish rabbi. I'm hungry to know your God. Can you tell me how to do that?" No, she was just going about her daily routines, minding her own business, when this stranger asks her for a drink and then steers the conversation into spiritual matters. She wasn't seeking at this stage to know God. Maybe her guilt over her current living boyfriend and her 5 marriages caused her to keep her distance from God. And the only explanation that I can see for this story is that Jesus was seeking a sinner who wasn't even seeking him. And you know, I'm so glad he still does that today. He came to seek and to save those who need him. Jesus tells this woman, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give shall never thirst. Indeed, this water that I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, Jews who were familiar with the scripture knew that the Lord himself is the spiritual fountain of living water. In Jeremiah 2, we read, "The Lord rebukes his sinning people, for my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." And again in Jeremiah 17, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame, because you have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord." What Jesus is saying is, because I am the Messiah, I can give you something that will meet your deepest needs, give you that soul satisfaction which you thirst for. I can fill up the emptiness inside you. As Jesus said in John 7, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit. You know, Jesus alone can supply the living water which can meet our every need. Jesus told the woman at the well that the water that he gives will become a well of water springing up to eternal life. The picture of this living water springing up points to the continual source of life that the indwelling Holy Spirit gives to all believers. It never dries up. Jesus tells the woman, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst." Because, you know, he can satisfy, not just for a moment, but for all eternity. He's rescued us from sin and from judgment, and he's given us a future and a hope. Romans 8 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death." You know, he's given us eternal life, and nothing can separate us from his love. Again in Romans 8 we read, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." He has made us his children. We're under his loving care in every situation. 1 John 3. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And again in Ephesians 1. "He has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know, we have his word, and that's like water to our soul. Here Jesus invites this sinful woman to ask him to give her this living water. that will forever quench her spiritual thirst. Again, it's important to know that salvation is not a matter of keeping rules and rituals, but rather it's new life that the Spirit brings into us. It brings us into a relationship with the living God. And it's also important to know, as Jesus emphasizes, that it's a gift, not something we can earn. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, perhaps you're here this morning, you're hoping nobody might notice you. Maybe you're wondering what people are thinking about you. Maybe your life seems meaningless and empty. Maybe you've tried all sorts of ways, even religion, to give your life meaning and purpose and haven't found it. Maybe you're really struggling, going through a bad time. You know, Jesus offers today a way of knowing him. You know, he's still saving people today. Like Nicodemus and the woman at the well, did we just have to respond to his invitation? And like them, we will find that he is all we need. He's the answer to our deepest needs. You know, this wasn't a chance encounter. It was a divine appointment. It was another example of how God in Christ, in his mercy, love and grace, seeks out that person that nobody else thinks is worth bothering about. This happens time and time again in the life of Jesus. He touches the untouchable. He offers love to the unlovely. He gives time and attention to the nobodies of this world. You know, if Jesus did this, then so should we. We should be different. We should be like Jesus if we truly belong to Jesus. Those of us who have experienced his grace and know his grace should show it by the gracious way we talk to and treat other people. But you know, this message is not just for people who make it through the doors of our churches. All around us, our neighbours, friends, family members, work colleagues, people we bump into in the street. Everyone is thirsty. Everyone is trying to satisfy their needs in different ways. But you know, only Jesus can bring that lasting satisfaction. There's an old hymn, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, but it goes like this. O Christ, in you my soul has found, and found in you alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's no other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Now, only Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Only Jesus can satisfy our deepest needs, because he is the Christ. So who will you bump into this week? Who will God bring across your path in a divine appointment? Could you share a word about how Jesus has satisfied your needs? Do you know there's a harvest to be gathered, and we're sent to share in the labour to reap for God's glory? God calls all sorts of people to become Christians, whether it's Nicodemus or the woman at the well, or the person you chat to tomorrow. All who believe in Jesus can be saved and can find in him the peace and the joy that they need. I just pray that we may see this more and more as we have the courage to speak out and to tell others the good news that we have experienced.